Welcome to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. Coming up April 19th through the 22nd at the Stevens Center, the University of North Carolina School of the Arts presents Spring Dance 2012. On the program will be a unique collection of ballet classics like Act Two of Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake with John Mauchery conducting the UNCSA Symphony Orchestra, modern masterpieces like José Limón's powerful work The Unsung and Merce Cunningham's enigmatic Beach Birds, and a new work choreographed by Larry Kagan will be performed titled Kingdom. UNCSA high schoolers and college students at the dance school will perform after weeks of extensive training from my guests today. For years, dance educator Sean Sullivan performed as a soloist with the famed José Limón Dance Company, and he taught at the Limón Institute as well. Franchon Cordell performed soloist roles as a member of the renowned American Ballet Theater, and she's worked with many of the finest choreographers in history. Last month, Franchon and Sean jetted across town to WFDD to talk dance. Here's part one of our conversation.
The Limón tradition, I think, it's a family of people, really, and it's something that was established by Doris Humphrey, I think, in the beginning. Uh-huh. And her work with Fall and Rebound and the ideas of expression coming from the way the body has to conform to gravity or not conform to gravity, that the expressive nature of dance lies within that, whether you're releasing to the effects of gravity or trying to recover out of the effects of gravity. Therein lies the expressive nature of dance. Huh. So that's where she began. And she also was a very socially conscious person. She did a lot of works with really, really large ensembles. And a lot of her dances were about unity and just the struggle of the human existence and how that struggle, we are all united in that. And I think the seeds of that foundation just have been sown right through Jose's work, and it still continues today. And I think it's a seed that is relevant no matter what day and age you happen to be living in. So the culture of the company, I think, is rooted in that tradition and in Jose's work. And when you enter the company, you are indoctrinated, in a way, into really fully embodying the material and really understanding the relationship that you have to the other people on stage and your relationship to the work and your relationship to the music. As an ensemble, there are no soloists, there are no principals, everybody is equal.
This is the tough part of radio. How do you describe some signature movements or gestures of Limón's that maybe reflect themselves in the piece you're all going to be doing?
Well, his style is a very masculine style, and not that there aren't feminine qualities within it. And I think his approach to choreographing for women and choreographing for men were different things. Mm. But he didn't even start dancing until he was 21. And he was initially a painter. And when he finally went to New York and started studying painting in New York, he was disheartened by the modernist movements that he was encountering there. He was more interested in the classical ideas and the classical forms of painting. And then he saw a concert with some friends of his, a dance concert of a man named Harold Kreutzberg, who was a German expressionist. And he was very masculine. And I think up until that point, Jose had always thought of dancing as a very feminine activity. But here he saw this man, Harold Kreutzberg, dance in a very masculine way. Masculine in that you could have weight, that you could drop your weight into the ground and you can rise out of it. Again, those principles that I was talking about from Doris Humphrey. A lot of the gestures are very broad and the use of the hands in a very wide and articulate way, almost like a Spanish flamenco kind of a way. There's a lot of lift in the elbows and lift of the back, carriage of the arms through the back.
Yeah.
It has a breadth and a depth and kind of a very strong sense of pride, almost like a bull, watching Jose's dances and pictures of him moving.
Within all that masculinity and these big broad gestures, the humanity kind of comes through. There are these very sensitive moments, too. It was almost contradictory. Like you said, those big, I don't want to say stiff hand gestures, but then all of a sudden this theatrical element or a look or a gesture that was just gut-wrenching. I found it really hard to wrap my brain around.
It's a balance, I think. He finds a balance between, moments that are very expansive and broad and masculine and moments that are very subtle and sensitive and lighter. And there's both of those aspects in his work.
French, don't forgive me. I had no idea. I mean, it's the who's who list of the greatest choreographers in history that you've worked with.
That's true.
Remarkable.
Yes. Very fortunate.
I didn't even know where to begin. I went, for listeners, I just have to tick them off, forgive this, but Balanchine, Baryshnikov, Agnes DeMille, Tetley, Tudor, and Tharp. But I wanted to start with Balanchine just because of the music and wondering what you picked up through that experience in that connection between dance and music, because he worked with Debussy and Ravel and Stravinsky and all these amazing composers. Looking back on that experience, what did you take from that?
The use of music and how brilliant he used music. I mean, and you watch his pieces like Serenade, and you watch them over and over, and you keep seeing new things and new places in the music that you might not have heard the first time, and it was brilliant.
Those pieces on their own, I mean, I'm talking about the ballets of Stravinsky, all these great composers, and Satie and all these people, you can listen to the music themselves and still hear new things over and over again.
Right. And then you see new movements and patterns that you didn't maybe notice the first time because there's so much. It's so deep.
Did he ever speak about interactions with some of these great composers and collaborating with them on works?
No, because by the time I was working with Balanchine, he was fairly old. And he really only came over to check ballets that we were doing of his in American Ballet Theater. So it wasn't like I was in his company. I didn't get that experience.
Sure, sure. Well, he died in 84, right? But he lived a long time. And that's the great thing about Balanchine. He spanned this whole, the best music ever written for ballet. Well, one of the biggest and best, obviously, the well-known Swan Lake and music by Tchaikovsky from just a dance instruction perspective, because obviously these are student performers. Why this particular work?
Well, it's one of the most popular classics, and it uses a lot of dancers. There are 12 corps de ballet dancers and 8 demi-soloists and 2 principals. So it's a large ensemble piece, so it gives a lot of opportunity to a lot of students to get to learn it and perform. Plus, it's well-known, and people like things they know.
Great music.
Great music.
These students get to do not only Swan Lake, but it's to a real orchestra backing them up. That must be quite an experience.
Yes, it's great. A lot of dancers choose to dance because of music. So when they get live music instead of pre-recorded, they have to be more in the moment because it's not consistent. You know, there's the human element to it. And so it's very exciting, first of all, to have the vibration and live music. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like it. It's different than pre-recorded. No matter how loud you play it and how much bass you put in it, it's not the same as live music. Plus, it's more spontaneous. And what's really nice about this is it is younger people, and they get to come together with their disciplines and create a one piece. And that's really wonderful and exciting for the dancers and the musicians.
Part one of my interview with University of North Carolina School of the Arts dance instructors Franchon Cordell and Sean Sullivan. You can hear part two of our conversation at wfdd.org/triadarts. Coming up April 19th through the 22nd at the Stevens Center, the University of North Carolina School of the Arts presents Spring Dance 2012. On the program will be a unique collection of ballet classics, modern masterpieces, and a new work by award-winning choreographer Larry Caguin. You'll find ticket information and more on our website. I'm David Ford. Thanks for joining me today for Triad Arts Up Close.